رمضان مبارک.
In the holy month of Ramadan, the blessed month of Ramadan, this month, the biggest message, that it has given, it started with that message in Ramadan. Ramadan started with this message, and the conclusion, the end point of Ramadan, Allah Ta'ala has also given with that same message. And we, such folk, weak individuals, there's a big message for us. For example, I'll give you an example to understand. Let's take Mount Everest, which is a mountain, very famous, well-known mountain. If you stand at the bottom of Mount Everest and think that I can't climb up this mountain, who can climb up this mountain? It's a joke. It's too hard. And they'll just turn around and leave. It looks very difficult to him that to climb up and clamber up. This is a mountain, the rocks. For a man, it's very difficult to go up to the top. But you will see that same mountain, that though if you people who actually mounted it were also human beings, say, do you understand what I'm saying? So one is the individual who stood there thinking, analyzing, and he concluded it's too hard, how can I climb up? But who also mounted that mountain? The same human being, and he went up to the top of Mount Everest, he climbed and he struck a flag at the top. So what did Ramadan do to us? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, Allah says. This is what Ramadan said in the beginning, isn't it? This was the target it gave to us. And what a big target, bigger than Mount Everest. And who's that being given to? Someone who's never prayed salah, doesn't know about sunnah, doesn't know tariqah, doesn't know about unlawful haram, doesn't know about halal, lawful, doesn't know about parda, doesn't know about anything. And to that person, Allah says, you need to become a muttaqi. Sounds weird, isn't it? You understand what I'm saying? People like me, if I'm told that 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 hours you're used to sleeping, and how many cups? No, I drink 5 or 6 cups of tea a day. Normally, in a normal day, I drink 2 cups of coffee on top of that. What do you eat? Oh, when I'm hungry, I just grab some food. It's our life, isn't it? We do that. Yes. But that same individual, Allah Ta'ala gives him a target, that you have to stay hungry, even if it's 18 hours, 20 hours fast, and more than that, 23 hours, you have to stay hungry during the fast. Yes, and alongside that, Allah has also given another action. You have to stay thirsty, and doesn't matter what the temperature is, what the degree centigrade is, 120 Fahrenheit, 110, 112, or if it's minus, yes, but the order is the same, equivalent everywhere. Do you understand what I'm saying? So here, did Allah Ta'ala not know that insan, the human being, such a big action I'm giving, and is it easy to attain taqwa? Taqwa, is there some easy thing to attain? Taqwa you attain at that time when the human being, he rejects the sins, he becomes obedient to Allah, and completely he follows Allah's orders, and this maqam level is called taqwa. Taqwa. Okay. For example, if it's a friend of Allah, Allah has given taqwa, or kutab, or ghawth, or very righteous person, Allah gives that status, and he considers that, it's a big thing, but such a person like me, sinful, and what's his condition? And he's told, stop eating, and he eats 5 times a day, normally, or 10 cups of coffee he drinks a day. That's his weak point. And he's told that you have to leave this. And if he doesn't do it, then in hell be ready, the sticks are ready. Allah Ta'ala doesn't oppress, he doesn't do zulm. Allah Ta'ala doesn't zulm on the people. Why? Because who created me? Allah created me. And who is my creator? Allah is the creator, Khalik. And who's put the machine inside me to function? Who's given me the brain? Who's made it? So he knows everything. So Allah made us. Allah said, I made you, and all the qualities I've given to you, there are many varying qualities inside you. That's why Allah has given an order to us. One person, if he's sick and he sat down and a person healthy sitting next to him, who will I say to go and get a glass of water from downstairs for me? Who will I give the instruction to? Why? Because I'll say, this man, he's healthy, he's well, he's fit. I'll tell him it's easier for him to go and get the glass of water. The sick man, how will he go? His legs got pain, he can't move. I'm not going to tell him to get the glass of water, am I? He doesn't have that quality. So if we don't have the capacity, why would Allah say to us that do not do zina with your eyes? Then why would Allah say that to us? That don't leave your house without covering the face. Why would Allah say that to us if we don't have the capacity? That don't do immodest actions. Why would Allah Ta'ala tell us this? That zina, that there are many opportunities to do zina, adultery, don't do that. Why? Because Allah knows he's got a machine inside in the human being that if he controls himself, that even the angels get ashamed of his modesty. Subhanallah. This is so great, a quality of Allah's capacity, that if we get to the high level, then even the angels start to be ashamed in his company. Because who created the human being? You understand what I'm saying? So what's the reason that why do we stay like animals and monkeys in our life? Oh, it's too hard for me. Oh, I can't practice this. Very easily we'll say that we're sinful. If someone says to pray in tahajjud salah, if someone advises you, person like me, a sinful person, oh, it's too hard. Oh, I can't. It's hard to pray 5 times a day because we just lower ourselves. Humble ourselves. But if you tell someone about the dunya, can you do this action? Yeah, I'll do it in 1 minute. Oh, don't worry, it's not a problem at all. Opening the shop, I'll open it. No problem at all, I'll run the business. Or can you do this action? Go to this place and set up the business. No problem, tell me what to do. I'll do it straight away. That many miles you have to drive and buy the stock and sell. Oh, just in a second I'll get a few. So these two opposite things, why? That with the religion, we lower ourselves. Oh, it's too hard for me, too difficult, it's too tough. Oh, please don't tell me. Keeping the beard, oh, it's too hard. I can't keep the beard. Yes, so this is reason. What's the reason? That Allah orders at that time when you have the capacity, you're capable. And the tussle of the capabilities with our nafs, our desires. That when it comes to me, oh, when someone advises you to do good deen, religion, practice, oh, it makes it easy. But when the worldly benefit you comes, he becomes like a bold, courageous man. Ask him to do whatever, he'll do 70 tasks in one go. Yeah, the biggest risk he'll take it. The biggest risk he'll take it. And he'll put his life on the line for the dunya. Is this the case or not? You understand what I'm saying? Or you don't understand what I'm saying? So this is such a big opposition, contrast. Why is there contrast? So here I understand that, for example, Allah has given me a target in life. And if I'm not extending myself to meet that target, there's only one reason for that. That I have cooperated with the criminality of my nafs desires and I'm obeying the desires. That when Allah orders something to be done, the human being 100% can do that if Allah is ordering us to do it. We have the capability because Allah knows. Whatever order Allah gives through the Quran, etc. Because Allah has created us. He's manufactured us. For example, you buy a car and you drive that car 200 miles an hour. Will it go? Because you know that it's been manufactured by that and it's got the resource and it's got the capability. If you take a Morrison from 1900s, and will you drive it 200 miles an hour? You can't. Why? Because it doesn't have that capability. The engine's not capable to drive 200 miles an hour. So how can you rev it up and accelerate? Do you understand what I'm saying? You can't. You know you won't do it. So this game, oh, it's too hard for me. I can't practice. It's too difficult. This is deception. Delusion, shaitani delusion to the human being. Shaitani, that the person's following that path and it's destruction. Destruction. So you are not like this human being. You are very high class, high level, high capability individual. Allah has put that capability inside you. So here a person should think, whatever actions Allah has given to us to do, the highest, our highest, pray tahajjud, do prostration at tahajjud time, memorize Quran, there's nothing difficult or impossible for us human beings at all. Nothing's impossible. Nothing. Possible, and there is no such thing as impossible. It could be difficult, but it's not impossible. Remember this statement. Remember this statement, what I'm saying. It can be difficult to practice things, but it's not impossible. Remember this. So anyone who says that, oh, I can't do this, it's not possible, then consider that person that behind him, the shaitan is with him. We'll have to beat that shaitan. We'll have to crush this person's desires because he's talking nonsense. So we are disabled. Oh, I'm weak. I was saying to somebody, control your nafs, your desires, and straight away from behind him, no, he's younger, oh, he'll keep it, mother, supporter, yeah, they don't understand that they think he's too hard, he's going to become strict, he's going to become like fundamentalist, etc. So this is shaitan. So for this we need a tool, yeah, that what we are taught. So small hadith, very beloved hadith, ستدو وقارب قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. That look here, listen to this point. Allah's Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم, how he resolves the and makes it easy for us to practice. There's nothing hard, he said. There's nothing impossible. Might be difficult. Possibly it can be difficult, yes. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's given us Ramadan, then for this purpose he gave it, that inside the human being, you know, that mindset that you are lying. How comes you're doing everything now in Ramadan? That yesterday you can do all of this. How comes you're praying 20 rakat tarawih when before you can even do 4 rakat for asr? How comes you're praying now? So you could do it before. You could do it. You are capable. So Allah's given encouragement. He's given us a drive through Ramadan. You don't know that the punishments that are there, you can make so many excuses to not practice the order Allah's given. But what will be the conclusion? On the day of judgment, then you will get the severe punishment and you'll be thrown into hell. So for the reason for this is that it's in your control. You can practice now. You can. You're capable. Don't say, I can't do it. Don't say that. Very important point I'm sharing with you. Register this. Don't say, I can't pray tahajjud. Don't say, I can't leave this sin. Don't say, I can't do X, Y, Z. You can do it. We can do it. I can do it. Yes, it's not. Don't say that I can't do it. Rather say that to practice that action, think about it, how can I practice this action? What shall I do? Make a plan. So, the stage in the hadith, the reality is, that is a beautiful meaning of this hadith, is that when you think that it is hard to do this action, yeah, staying hungry, thirsty, and to be a muttaqi, fear Allah, leave the sins, is very hard. For sure it's hard. But what do we say? We start. Okay, I'll make a start. Yes, what a beautiful mindset. Ramadan teaches us this principle. Allah says, just make a start. Initiate. So when you start and take a step, Allah says, inshallah, every human being who makes a start, end of the day, he will leave Ramadan as a muttaqi. Somehow, on some level, he will attain taqwa. Because he's embarked on that journey. Do you understand what I'm saying? He's taking the step. So for this reason, there are higher status people, lower status people, sinful people like us. All of us are happy on Eid and we celebrate because everybody gets a reward. Whoever started the good action during Ramadan, everyone's a muttaqi by the end. Everybody. Do you understand what I'm saying? So Ramadan has given us encouragement. Every action that Allah Ta'ala has instructed you to do, just start it. Just make a start. Initiate. And if you think it's hard and you stop and you don't do it, then you will never be able to do that action. Never. So you have to say, it's hard. Oh, you know, I've got a business run. I can't pray. How will I do this? How will I do that? I, in my lifetime, have observed and experienced that when any difficult, very hard action, religion I'm talking about, deen, then I just took the step with tawakkal Allah, with trust in Allah. And it happens. It's fulfilled and it's completed. The individual arrives to the conclusion. So, for example, you take any new example. I want to go to the gathering of dhikr. I want to arrive there. First, that you will always this and nafs and desires say don't go. But when a person starts to do wudu and he starts to move ahead, then he starts to go to that gathering. Yes, so it's a very easy way in this hadith that we are given the advice here how to make it easy. That just the more it's looking difficult and hard, whatever the action is, who makes the action hard? Our desires and shaitan. Allah hasn't made the action hard for us. You understand my point? Allah hasn't made that practicing the deen hard for us. Allah has given us no difficulty. Mother cannot give anything hard to her son. Then will our Lord Allah give us something hard to do? Allah has given us beautiful, beloved, excellent actions. And look how much enjoyment you're getting in Ramadan. You're getting it, isn't it? Be honest. Be honest, aren't you enjoying Ramadan? If we put a dish in front of you, I eat this. You say, no, I don't want to eat. I've kept the fast. And when I break the fast, then I will eat after that. You say that, won't you? Yeah, for example, who's made an intention, I'll go to dhikr before that. It's very far, very hard. But when you arrive to dhikr and sit down, then you don't leave. You don't feel like leaving the gathering of dhikr. Then you think again, oh, I used to make a mistake that I never used to come before. Yeah, this is the case, isn't it? That same human being who's arrived in it. Do you understand the point I'm making? So that same human being who said before, that, oh, how will I wake up? How will I go to the bathroom? It's not fard, is it, to do this? Oh, I'll just listen here and do dhikr here. But he crushes his desires. And it's a very good method to do this. Very good method. That the, you know, that the person who shakes you and stops you in doing the action, just give it a shake. You understand what I'm saying? For example, start looking towards the car, the marshal. Just do that. Look towards your car that's going to take me to the gathering. Just by looking at the car, Allah will then deliver you and take you to the car and take you to that gathering. And then when to bring you back, Allah, you'll say, oh, it was a big mistake. Oh, so much fares of Hazrat Sahib I attained today and received today. I enjoyed myself today. Yes, so it happens, isn't it? A person then feels it after the regret of the lost opportunities. So that same insan who wasn't moving, and when he moves a bit, makes an intention, and he wakes himself up, then alhamdulillah, after going to that majlis, it's announced, all his sins are forgiven, and he has become a wali Allah, friend of Allah. Yes, he has attained the levels of Allah, even if he has an accident, if he dies, whatever happens, he will wake up in such a high rank, you cannot imagine how he will wake up in hereafter. So Allah has given the reward for that person. Maintain it, your actions, your practice. Yes, Allah has given the reward for moving. So maintain that now, keep moving. Do you understand the points I'm making? So in this hadith, this concise hadith, that you can't get to the destination straight away. The Holy Prophet ﷺ was saying in the hadith, you won't become a muttaqi suddenly, will you? Suddenly. Yes, that for example, if you say in the street to somebody, you become a muttaqi, he'll laugh at you first. He'll say, for example, says to me, that go here, Mount Everest, climb up Mount Everest. I say, I've got leg problems, pains, how will I climb? That even, for example, there's a small pain in the foot. I'll say, no, I want to climb. Doesn't matter how much pain you've got, you will climb it then, because you've determined, you have the capability. So in deen, there's no easier thing to practice than deen, religion, nothing. Nothing easier to practice than religion. But in opposition to that, that we are following the nafs, our desires. Allah's orders, we are breaking. Allah's direction, we are breaking due to the nafs. Very quickly the punishments for that will come. Very quickly the punishments will come that the human being cannot imagine. The first shake when a person's last breath is drawn and the ribs will overlap. The ribs will overlap and squeeze the flesh. Yeah? And you know that a person, for example, very scary and horrible angels that you cannot imagine the ugliness of their appearance, they will sit up that person and give him the punishment. And when will this happen? That punishment will never end. It will never cease. So isn't it better now we start practicing rather than making excuses and obeying our desires that we can't practice? You can, zalim, oppressor, you've accepted the punishments. You are embracing the punishments of the hereafter. Yes, in opposition to that, look at the action that your nafs is stopping you from doing. Isn't it making you move? It's too hard. How will I do this? How will I do that? How can I do this? This will happen. That will happen. Oh, I can't practice. No, the thing that's being told to us that's haram, unlawful, end of story. Just say, I can leave this. I can do this, I can shun this, and I can go towards good. Make that firm commitment. Am I right or wrong? So this is how Ramadan is training us and developing us. That from where to where the man arrives to, the man walking around on the pavements and streets, after 30 days he departs from Ramadan as a muttaqi. Every man, every Muslim, my iman, my yaqeen says, that whoever enters into Ramadan, when I see such women, folks, sisters are doing tawbah, repenting, such men, I don't find them, I speak to them on the phone, but I'm amazed and surprised that Allah, your glory is so great that how you drag the human being and you explain a point to them, that what's there to be scared of? Look here, Allah Ta'ala has given us encouragement and satisfaction that this verse, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kutiba alaykumus siyam kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum. لَلَّقُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. After that Allah says, أَيَّامٌ مَعْدُودَاتٍ. Subhanallah. Allah saying, calm down, don't worry. Imagine the taste of this. أَيَّامٌ مَعْدُودَاتٍ. Allah says, He's cooling down the desires. Then not to worry. I'm not telling you to fast all your life. Just 30 days, they'll finish like this. Allah saying, very quickly. This is Allah's method of encouraging us and calming us down. Do you understand what I'm saying? So what's the difference here? That Allah gives you encouragement. I said, don't worry. Don't worry. Even if you're fasting, you're getting so many rewards. Then what's the problem? No problem. You don't keep the fast. Hey, your mama, do the, just quickly these days will disappear. You won't even know. Oh, okay, Allah, I'll keep the fast. It's only 30 days. Okay, I won't smoke a cigarette for 30 days. So you leave the cigarette. Yeah. Okay, Allah, I won't touch my beard. Maybe afterwards Ramadan will, but at least now I'll leave the beard. I won't shave it. Hey, your mama, do that, Allah says. Look how Allah Ta'ala encourages and influences. So this hadith, what it tells us here as well. That your action, human beings, Allah Ta'ala's orders that He created you, you must do all those actions in life. From birth. What orders? Ati'u Allah wa ati'u Rasul. Obey Allah and obey. The Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam orders us, the complete, I've given you my Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as a role model. Emulate him 100%. If he's given us a role model, it may be hard to follow him, but it is 100% possible. You can do it, Allah says, because I've given to him as a role. This is my, where you are, where you live, your whole life should be a sketch of the life of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Why? Ayyamu ma'dudat, Allah says, after Ramadan. So Allah says, Sariul Hisab, why are you scared? Very soon you will return to me. Your days of your life will finish and you will go into paradise forever. So just suppress and crush your desires a little bit on earth. You understand what I'm saying? Similarity. So how Allah has made it easy for us. So whenever the human being starts doing an action, a good, pious action, righteous action, and he wants to do it, suddenly, don't look at the difficulty of that action. No, no, no. Your nafs will never let you do that action. Your desires will never let you do that action. Never. Oh, it's too hard. Be a muttaqi, God-fearing. So straight away crush that desire. What's that? How do you do that? Subhanallah. That what you should do in the beginning is that you know it's hard, it's looking difficult for you, you're not used to it. It's not impossible, it's hard. Then the world, there are so many attractions and tastes to leave them, to crush your desires. Definitely it's hard. So وَقَارَبُوا Rasulullah ﷺ advised us. Allah's Nabi ﷺ said, why don't you do this then? That this action to attain the path, then go towards and look at the end point of what you are doing. Yes, so for example, otherwise no Wali Allah would have become, or no Qutb, no Ghawth would have become before today. Do you understand what I'm saying? That Muqarabu, the advice we're given here, is that when do I say to you that immediately you do this action? No, no, no. That for example, is there any path that we say, oh, is there any way out from here so I don't do this? But look for the solution to get to the end point. Look for the solution. And here then, Allah gives a guarantee that don't worry about it. The end point. I have opened the path for you. I've opened the path for you, Allah says. So two things have happened now. That the orders Allah has given to us, the ahkams, none of them are hard. None of them are difficult. They may be difficult, but they're not impossible. None of them are impossible, yeah? So yeah, this is what I meant to say, that they're not impossible. It's hard. Allah says, I'll make it easy. How should we make it easy? Allah says, to make it easy, وَقَرَبُوا, I've given you a means, a tool, a method. So look towards that. Start looking towards the action, thinking about the action. Analyzing. For example, you start looking at the car, you look at the car, you look at the car, eventually you sit in it. Yeah? Why? Because Allah puts the waswasa. Oh, come on, let me go to the gathering, zikr physically. Oh, so inside you've got this sort of clash going on. Shall I go or not go? When that waswasa comes, then let me just hit a stick on this waswasa, the negative thought. So the waswasa that says to me, let's go, let me revive that waswasa, that thinking. Let me just make that stronger towards Jannah. I'll share with you a hadith, and even Hazrat Ibn Masud, he was telling a story of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the story that once the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us a story that there was a man, and he used to live in a dirty place, dirty village, and obviously the dirt, impurity, wherever a person lives, then he's influenced by that. I told you these things before, and I've told you these things before. So how do you save yourself? Don't go to the bad place. Don't go to the bad place. Don't say, I'll be saved. Then don't go there. Then you'll be saved. Yeah, that's it. So know this. Oh, don't drink alcohol. And Allah Ta'ala says, when I say to you, I'm saying to you, don't go to that place where alcohol is drank, so that you don't go to the root. Do you understand what I'm saying? Allah's given us the advice in advance. It wasn't hard, was it? So what's Allah saying? That why do you go to that place where alcohol is drank? Whereas then obviously when you go there, you'll get encouraged, influenced. So that person used to live in a bad place. So here we get a lesson that don't ever go to the bad society, to the wrong society. That according to your target, the people, for example, you want to be a pious person, righteous person, you want to earn Jannah. So those things that are a hurdle for you getting to Jannah, do you understand what I'm saying? Then those hurdles, barriers, those places, a man should not keep a connection with those places that are barrier for him to get to paradise. Yes, your desires will say, your nafs will say, yeah, it's fine. Whatever Allah says, this is dangerous, don't go close to it. The dunya is a dangerous place, this place that you save yourself and your family and your children from fitna. So what should you do? Then those things, don't adopt those practices. Don't go close to those places because they will become a barrier, a hurdle for you, a restriction for you. You understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? So, this is, Allah Ta'ala has explained this point to us, that when you see something is very difficult, how shall I do this, this, then there must be a tariqah method, very simple method. So Allah has given order, definitely it's easy for us to do this. We can make it easy. So Allah Ta'ala then He tries to give a push. So I said that the two waswas are coming in, that shall I do it or shall I not do it? So you should crush the desire by not doing it. So that man, he lived in such a village, a town which was a bad place, bad environment, darkness. So when the waswasa came to him, a negative or good thought, where does the waswasa come? Waswasa comes from Allah. And a bad waswasa, bad thought comes from shaitan. So the bad waswasa, bad thought will make you do the action which will become a hurdle, a barrier for you to get to the target, so you don't get there. So you should understand that. So you should think that this waswasa that's coming, that's stopping me and for going to paradise is a hurdle, barrier for me, this means it's wrong. So immediately those actions, then you should start to do the, so stop yourself from doing the bad at that time. Yeah? And when he got the waswasa, what was his waswasa? He said that become good. He got that inclination, the sinful, the bad society, wrong society. What was the waswasa he got? That become good. Where did this come from? From Allah. This thought came from Allah. And shaitan then injected him, what will you do if you become pious? You're sinful all your life long, you've sinned. And that's why Allah gives us Ramadan, all life long your sins. Where's Allah Ta'ala picking them up? After 30 days, Allah's picking those same people up as muttaqis. You understand what I'm saying? Why? Because this waswasa, don't worry about the negative evil thought. So when the good thought comes, what will you do then? That maybe you're about to die now, and now you started to go and sit with the pious people, they're going to laugh at you, they're going to joke against you, that now you're going to become good. Oh, what's the point of you learning dhikr now? You can't do dhikr now, you've spent too many years on the opposite side. Don't do that. So shaitan's waswasa. And then he did the action himself. So the third is the man himself. So when he's given a good thought, he pulled himself together. He said, no, yaar, I need to do something in my life. Okay, let's see how it goes. So then he just took a step. He took a step and he started the journey to go to that locality where there were good people, pious people. So he left the bad society and he's traveling towards the good society. He didn't make intention, I'll practice and become pious. He just started the journey to go to the good town. This is hadith. Hazrat Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu said that when he left his town, which was a bad place, bad company, and he was going towards the good town, then Allah gave him, in his destiny was written his death. He'd left the bad place and he wanted to arrive to the good place, but he died on the way. Then the angels came to do his hisab, balancing and accounts. The good angel for the good book of good deeds wanted to take him to paradise, and the other angels who record the bad deeds, and shaitan, he said, oh, you can't take this person to the angel. He's my customer. All his life long, he was my client. And the angel says, where have you come from? And he says, look, he's dirty. He did many sins. Look, his record books. The angel said, no, he was a pious. He was a good man. They're clashing. He was going towards the good. He was traveling towards the good. He had the intention. So when both started to sort of clash, then Allah came in between, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the message came that there's nothing to argue about, I will solve the situation with you, Allah says. So from Allah's decision, nobody else apart from Allah can decide the righteous way. This is hadith I'm telling you. So Allah Ta'ala, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah said, okay, fine, I'll make the decision here. Look, what you do here. is that you do this, the start to measure the land, the distance where he came from and where he was going to, measure the distance. And the distance that he's closer to, the place he's closer to, that locality he's closer to, then we will give him the hashr of the hereafter just like that. Depends on his journey. Say subhanallah. Subhanallah. So the angel, when they measured the distance, and the real situation was that he had only traveled a little bit, but his focus was their firawaya. There are different narrations. In one narration it states that his focus was still actually closer to the place where he had left. But Allah is Malik, so Allah Ta'ala contracted that piece of land. Hey, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala assists his servant, helps his servant. Yeah, and extended the other distance. So if a human being makes a little bit of effort, then who does he? Allah Ta'ala starts to travel with that person on that journey and assist that person, makes it easier for him. So when they started to measure that distance, the angels, then there was one hand span which went in his favor towards the good locality he was going to. So Allah said, oh, you've won, the angel, you've won. There's more distance, closer towards the good place. Ya Allah, they started to shout out. And he was successful, and then they picked him up with respect and grace. Allah said, he's gone straight to paradise, and all his sins, they evaporated in thin air, the disobedience. What encouragement Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave, that don't be scared, don't be put off. That it's the same target you should have, the same target. All targets are possible, nothing is impossible. Nothing is more. You want to be pious, you want to be a muttaqi, God-fearing, you want to leave the sins, you don't want to be worldly, you want to halal earnings, you want to live a halal lifestyle, you want to wear parda and niqab. All the targets Allah has given, they should be also our targets at the same time. Yes, that's what we need to attain. The aim and objective Allah has given to us. So what do we need to do for that? That whatever that what that man did, the same thing, that he pulled himself together and he had some courage and determination, and he didn't lose hope. He didn't give up. He didn't say, oh, how can I do this? I'm living in this country. We haven't even come into this country. Before that we say, he's going to laugh at me, he's going to laugh at me, she's going to laugh at me, it's too hard for me, it's too difficult. You understand what I'm saying? So, وَقَارَبُ. Just like he made a promise and he made a determination, that even if I can't arrive there, but Allah will help and He'll give a push and assistance. No. I need Jannah, I need Jannah, I need paradise. So we are in that same position. We are in that same, we can't become pious like, just like that. We can't. But what we're not going to step back either. Yeah, we don't claim piety, but we're not going to step back either. So don't worry that we did a sin, that this is a problem, I'm finished, what shall I do now? No problem. You're on the path, just keep moving on that path. Keep moving on that path. Keep determined. Keep working hard. For example, if you do a sin, you're not sat in paradise already, are you, that you can't sin? And the Prophet ﷺ is telling the sahab off. That how can it be that you will not commit the sins? Who are you? That you think that Allah Ta'ala sent you to the world without sins? It's possible that, for example, that you go on water and you can't get wet, so you will commit the sins. Hadith tells us this. So never think that you will be saved from the sins and you'll always be pious and clean. Yes, oh, I'm a Naqshbandi, I won't sin, I'm an Imam, I won't sin. No, nafs will always give you a defeat and try to drown you. But, waqarabu, I'll tell you the method, said Rasulullah, then never give up and never lose hope. Yes? No, never give up. Don't be a person who looks towards the punishments and just looks towards darkness and complains and makes a fuss. Always think about the positive. Because the target is in front of you. Allah has given you the target. Say subhanallah. Subhanallah. So do you understand my words today? Do you understand what I'm saying? Oh yaar, what's going to happen after you? What's going to happen about your children, family? Forget about that. I'm going on a journey to Allah. When a person's in a journey, he's looking, where is he going? And where he's left is behind his back. Do you ever, when you're on a journey, look back where you've left and what's left behind you? No, you're looking ahead where you're going. So why are you worried about the past, what's happened? Leave that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Leave that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what you've left behind. And that leave the rest to your encouragement and determination. Don't look back and think, oh, this has happened and that's happened and this is my past. Forget all of that. So when a person hears this, the most sinful and sinful of people, they will stand up. Today one sister did tawbah, that's why this subject came to my mind. And then she was broken down when she heard what I said. Then she started to laugh. So easy is the deen? The sister said, Subhanallah, she said, nothing I can see now is impossible for me to do. That I will wear parda, burqa, everything I'm practicing now, everything I have left behind, what I did before. That's how easy is deen. So don't put the target behind you, otherwise you'll go towards Jahannam, hell. Put your target in front of you where you are. That I'm going to do this. Allah has created me, my name is this, this is my name is this, Suhail or Salim. And for me, Allah has given deen, Allah has made Jannah for me, there's a board in Jannah with my name on it. I have to go into the house Allah has made for me in paradise. It's for me. Allah has made paradise for me. That's my destination. Yes, when you say this thing, this, but you say it's impossible to get to paradise, and that if, would Allah Ta'ala then make Jannah paradise and put your name board in front of your house? Why? Because Allah knows it's possible. It's very possible that you can get there. Allah says, I've made this house for this person, this human being. So why is he saying impossible? But we step back ourselves and give up. Why? It's not us who step back. Nafs and shaitan that make us go down and lose hope and give up. So here, the Prophet ﷺ gave us the solution. That at this time, don't put your target behind you. وَقَارَبُوا Allah Ta'ala has opened a path. Look at the path Allah has given you, the route to get to the success. And grab hold of that route. The assistance. The help. Subhanallah. You understand what I'm saying? So now, let's complete this target of life. Don't do haram, don't do unlawful actions, don't do bad actions. Pray salah, pray tahajjud, do good actions, righteous actions, leave the sins. We have to follow this journey. So what do we need to do? Look for the path, the route. Look for the maps, you could say, the way to get there. Even if you don't get there, but at least you start on the journey. Just like the person didn't get to the top of the mountain, but at least he started. So the first step to get to Allah, to get to success is tawbah, repentance. So Ramadan has made us do this. So now we're talking about the steps. So while you're thinking and contemplating that I need to get to Allah's happiness and the way to get there is tawbah, to repent. But I will do tawbah. But if I won't say this, that Allah, I'll become a muttaqi, I'll become pious and righteous. That's not in my mind. But at least I'll start on this journey. Yes, that's the intention, subhanAllah. You understand what I'm saying? Make that intention. Because the people who do, thousands of people are stopped doing tawbah. That after this, I will not do the sin. Say subhanAllah. This is the point I'm giving you. That's why people don't repent. Though, if I do that, I won't do this sin, I can't do this sin, I can't do this sin. I say, who says that after tawbah you won't sin again? Do the sin. But at least now, start to travel on that journey. Just like that, when you travel on the journey, Allah's rahmah will come to save you. If you start the journey now. So here, after this bayanat thing, nobody should stop from doing tawbah and going on the journey to success. Yeah? How Allah's karam in Ramadan, Allah's enabled us to speak and discuss this subject. We're empty boxes, and how, mashallah, a woman who does tawbah and she runs towards Allah. Because Allah Ta'ala, when we do tawbah and repent, Allah is saying that you won't ever sin again. When you say that, you're talking rubbish. Allah says, that did I say to you that you will not sin? I sent you to the dunya where there is sin. So when you do tawbah, don't say I will never ever do sin again. Allah, I'm going to start on this journey. Let's see how it goes. Let's see how it goes. So inshallah, will you do tawbah now? Repent? Yeah, how easy it is to do tawbah with this mindset. Yes, Allah is not saying wear the burqa, wear the niqab, pray tahajjud. When did I say to you go and pray in jamaat? What am I saying this to you? I'm saying to you, Allah says, at least do tawbah. At least you will go on to that journey. Even if you die, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put that portion of the ground closer to you where you were going towards the good. Yes, waqarabu. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, fine. So grab hold of the path. Just get on to embark on that journey. Tawbah is a great action. Don't leave the target. Don't leave the target. Because the target is I want to become a waliullah. Don't let that target go lower. Keep that target in front of you shining. Because Allah has given you that target. Each and every one of us pray salah 5 times a day. Muttaqi, I want to become everything. So if you put your target away, then you will not have a mission. And shaitan will grab you. What we do is we hide our aim and target of life due to our wrong actions. Oh no, no, I can't do this. If you say to somebody, pray salah, oh, tell me something else, don't talk about salah. Why do you keep talking about salah? Who's going to pray salah today in this country? You think I'm going to pray and I'm going to grow the beard? They'll listen to you quietly and they will disobey. Allah Ta'ala says that your grave where you will go, your death, if there was 30 minutes left and you do tawbah, Allah says I will include you amongst those people who embarked on the journey towards the good. Right now, it's your job to do tawbah, and it's my job to help you and give you the shuka. Allah says, I'll get you out of hell and take you to heaven. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, give encouragement to your men, family, women, folk, take bayah. They get scared, I'll have to do this, I'll have to do that. You'll have to do nothing. Just at least start the journey. Then see what Allah Ta'ala says, that person who starts the journey, who embarks on the journey, then Allah says that now you've started the journey, but, one very beautiful point I'm sharing with you here, is that the first action that you adopted, Allah Ta'ala says, the first action, yes, because Allah is the Malik, He's the Khaliq, He says the first action that you started, is that it won't make you the Muttaqi, yes, or it won't take you close to Allah. Tawbah doesn't get you close to Allah. This is a new point I'm telling you. Yes, it's coming, I'm sharing this with you. Tawbah after repentance, never think that you have become pure after repenting. No. Yes, never think that after tawbah that you are close to Allah. So you are pure, you are pak, but tawbah won't draw you close to Allah. Tawbah will purify you, yes, it will clean you. Understand this point. Tawbah, repentance, don't consider that, oh, I'm close to Allah and I've started to love Allah. And no. This is incorrect. Allah Ta'ala at this point, He does like a person who does tawbah, that he's clean, he's pure, he doesn't smell now, he starts to smell beautiful. That's why Allah likes that person. But he hasn't made you His beloved yet due to tawbah. 70,000 times you can do tawbah, but you won't attain success. Understand the point? Yes. So tawbah will never make you wali Allah. Repenting. Tawbah doesn't give you wilayat, friendship with Allah. It won't give you the qurb, the nearness to Allah. Tawbah. Allah says you've started on that journey, the good smell has come to you, you are pure, but your destination is very great. That's the nearness to Allah, Allah's qurb. So Allah says, I've made your palace there, my pleasure, due to my pleasure, my rada, subhanAllah. Do you understand what I'm saying? So everyone's got a palace of Allah's pleasure. Whoever stops in the way, then he stops. Today, inshallah, I'll take you towards that palace, towards the success. Whoever has not done tawbah, do tawbah today. So what is tawbah? Repenting. Allah says, there's no guarantee that after repenting, you'll get to my qurb, you'll become close to me, that I have made you pure from tawbah. But what do you need to attain? Allah's nearness, Allah's qurb, Allah's connection. So what should we do together? Allah says, you've done tawbah, you've repented, you've moved a bit, I'll help you the rest of the way, Allah says. And what is that? That Allah says, that now I'll tell you the means to get to the qurb of Allah, the nearness to Allah. So I'll put a waswasa, a thought into you, and you have to pull yourself together. Allah says, I'll put the good thought into you, I'll make your arrangement, I'll plan for you, I'll make your environment good, I'll give you a push, a shove from behind, Allah says. But you need to move, Allah says, you need to move. What is that? That I will take you to the door, to the court of my friend, Allah says. SubhanAllah. And that's where you will then become close to Allah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, that's where you're going. So the company of the sheikh, the teacher, it will give you the nearness to Allah. So the first step, tawbah, purifies you, makes you clean. But the next step, the company of the pious people, that takes you close to Allah. So tawbah, repentance is the door that you go through. And the company of the sheikh is the whole city, that when you go through the door, you enter into a new city, a new town, and you'll wander around in the realm of Allah's nearness. You'll get to this level. So this, the levels, latifa qalb, the lesson of the heart, is the journey of the qalb, of the ruh, of the soul. So you have the ruh, the sar. So Hazrat Mujaddad al-Aftani, he saw the levels of maqams with his eyes. Just like the Prophet with his eyes saw hell and heaven and the palaces. So in wilayat, in the friendship of Allah, Hazrat Mujaddad al-Aftani, the great sheikh in the history of our teachers, he was shown the maqam, the levels, the rank of a believer. He experienced them. That what do we call this maqam? That I'm a maqam of Muhammadi, I can see maqam of Abu Bakr Siddiq, I've arrived to that level of spirituality. So what a difference here. Why? Because وَمَا ذَلِكَ بِالْعَزِيزِ Allah says, there's nothing hard for me to show to my servant. Yes, some prophets that Allah Ta'ala, they were on the ground, on the earth, they passed away. Another prophet Allah Ta'ala raised and took him to the heavens. Allah protected him, preserved him. He's also a Nabi. And there was the prophets who lived on the earth, say SubhanAllah. So it's Allah, who can complain to Allah? He does what He wills. So can anyone complain? No. Allah is the one that how He has given us the resources to get to His nearness. Do you understand the points I made here? Yes, Ajib, unique beyond today. Unique discussion. So tawbah, repentance, when you repent, it purifies you, cleans. But you still have to get close to Allah. And we want to get close to Allah. So the next step to get close to Allah, Allah gives you a push, that Allah takes you to the company of a wali Allah. That for example, oh, you know, there's a good person, shall I go there, sit in his company? Somehow or other, Allah Ta'ala takes you and delivers you to the company of a good person. Allah opens the way for you. Allah opens the way for you. So how fortunate you are, mashallah, that somebody has come through somebody else, somebody's come through somebody else, but you came from some, for some other reason to this gathering. You came for some other intention, but you became something else. Subhanallah. Allahu Akbar, Allah is greatest, eh? That Allah's glory, that because that Allah helps us, Allah assists us, Allah assists a person when he makes the intention that he wants to be good. Allah says, I want to take him to paradise. So when the student goes to the company of the shaykh, the teacher, and takes his hand, your hand has come into my hand, and mashallah, the path has lit up, and the destination has become clear to me, and the direction has changed, has been transformed. That I used to sit in the bar and the pub and drink alcohol, now I'm running towards the masjid. I used to buy the blades to cut the beard. Now, mashallah, I'm combing my beard and making it look handsome. Subhanallah. Before, I used to laugh at people wearing the turban imamah. And today, I am wearing the imamah on my head and walking around outside. Subhanallah. That's the transformation. Because the direction of the wind has changed as well. Yes, well, when my hand went into the hand of the teacher, such a current and injection came that my focus went towards Medina. Change of direction. Change of direction. You understand what I'm saying? So that's the point to understand. So think about it, yeah? Think about these points. So have you got any benefit today from understanding these points? How Allah Ta'ala has brought us towards His deen. That look, so at least make a movement and take some steps towards Allah. So if Allah has given you the company of the shaykh, then you must make that connection. That become fanaful shaykh. Immerse yourself in the company of the teacher. Because this path of Allah's nearness, Allah says, I want you to draw you near to myself. Allah says, how? Allah says, I want you to be immersed in the pleasure of Allah. Subhanallah. One great shaykh, rahmatullah, he said a unique statement about this. That this is the maqam of Allah's rada, Allah's pleasure. That's what we need to attain. That we need to attain. Because Allah has given us the target. Each and every one of us in here, Allah has given us the target to attain this pleasure. So it might be hard, but it's 100% possible. Listen carefully to what I'm saying. So Allah's pleasure, how do we attain that? That the human being inside him, he has the ability that he, for example, he doesn't have the happiness of paradise and he's not scared of hell. He fluctuates, he doesn't worry, he's not worried too much about the happiness of paradise or the fear of hell. He says, Allah, wherever your pleasure is, that's the place, best place for me. 1,000 Jahannam, you may send me there. If that's your reserved pleasure, then I'm not worried about that. I'm not concerned about that. Subhanallah. Say Subhanallah. Always leave it to Allah's pleasure. The human being, the believer, say, Allah, I'm for you. I'm not for hell. I'm not for heaven, my Mawla. I'm for you. I'm just focused on your pleasure. This maqam fana'i ilahi, you cannot get this status until you do not immerse yourself in the company of your teacher. Yes, Hazrat Sahib, I'm your student now. Give me an order. My happiness is for you. My sadness is for you. When you assign yourself over to the teacher, then the teacher steps back and your car progresses on that route to Allah. Allah got great points. These are deep points that I'm sharing with you. These are deep points. This is a unique majlis that we're sat in. Unique gathering, alhamdulillah. It's very easy. It's very easy for you to understand my points. All of you, mashallah, understand what I'm saying. So our task, our objective is that we've done tawbah, we've repented. We are all in this gathering like this, isn't it? Those who are listening who haven't done tawbah, then assign yourself over to Allah. Do tawbah, repent. Allah has given us a shaykh, a teacher, a guide. The third action for us to do is what? Is to be fana. Immerse yourself in this journey, in this practice. Yes? And there's only one way to be fana, to immerse yourself. Fight with your desires. Fight with your desires. Yes, that this is very severe battle of the nafs, of the desires with the human being. So in the light of this hadith, I'll give you a great portion. The Holy Prophet ﷺ gave a great news that look, that when you fight with your desires while you're living in the world, then remember one thing. While you're living in the world and you fight your desires, when you fight with your desires, your nafs, and you're following the journey to your destination, always remember who wins. The religion, the deen will always win. You will never lose that battle. Don't step back from fighting your desires. Never. Yes, I want to get immersed in Allah's pleasure. Always think this. Do you understand the message I'm giving to you? Yes. Okay, whoever steps back, then in the hereafter, what will happen? Yes? No, I want to travel to Allah, I want to get near to Allah, and I will not leave Allah. Make that conviction in that fight, in that clash with the desires. Keep it going, that clash with the nafs. Don't step back. Don't give up. Because I give you the good news about the win. You will 100% win that battle with the desires. 100% your deen will end. Never leave that practice. Never. Because your nafs desires will make you lose and give up and leave the practice. Very beautiful words we've discussed today. Yes? So now drop that now, the discussion, so we can do a bit of dhikr of Allah. Otherwise I'll carry on and our dhikr will be left behind. So inshallah, my Hazrat Sahib said the final statement, that if I'm left alive, if I'm alive, then inshallah we will have company again. May Allah keep and give us life so our majalis gatherings continue, so we can pull ourselves together and travel on this journey of life, inshallah. Okay, recite the Rusul.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. As-salatu was-salamu ala sayyidina mursalin. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على محمد وعلى آل محمد. اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وسلمنا نصلنا جدنا خطبنا. اللهم ربنا اعطنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة. اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. اللهم نعوذ بك من شر نفسي وشر شيطاني. اللهم نعوذ بك من شر نفسي وشر شيطاني. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين. سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله.